Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call this Committee of the Whole meeting to order Monday, June 16th at 6 p.m.
Long?
Here.
Schmidt?
Here.
Wire absent, Picaro here, Olson?
Here.
Barry?
Here.
Danny?
Here. Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have any town hall?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Okay, so for the Committee of the Whole meeting tonight, there's three things that I would like to cover. First, we're going to do a quick trustee orientation. Mallory put the slides together, borrowing a lot of information from other libraries, which we found useful. And then I'm going to review with you the trustee portal, which is a new system online where there are directions for you. So when we get to that point, we can log in and I can kind of show you around that. And then if there is time left, I would like to have just a really open and honest discussion about what's on the agenda tonight. And I really need to get some input and feedback from the board on what you all want for the future. So there's a couple agenda items that we can talk about after the training and the portal review. So, library trustee orientation, and this is our logo. The agenda, what we're going to cover are the Bartlett Public Library District basics, Libraries 101, roles and responsibilities, financial background, board meetings, Open Meetings Act, which is OMA, and Freedom of Information Act, which is FOIA. We're going to touch upon advocacy and then talk about some additional resources that are out there for trustees. And that's a picture of our building with our letters. This is our organizational chart. The Board of Trustees encompasses everything. So there's seven elected officials, and they are the boss of the director, who is me. In the last year or so, we did create an assistant director position. So she, Mallory, is in charge of the public relations manager, the adult services manager, the youth services manager, with the concept of thinking that everything is outward facing, public services, marketing, youth, adult programming, outreach. We are in the process of hiring a full-time graphic designer and PR system that, assistant that's really going to focus on outreach. We have an adult and the teen librarians and adult associates, and then we have youth librarians and youth associates. On my side, I am direct supervisor manager of the technical services manager, IT, circulation, and facilities. If you kind of think about it, other than CERC, everything's kind of in the background, and we think that's a really good mix. Circulation does kind of cover with Mallory and I both, depending on the type of situation. We do have a circulation assistant manager, and then we have technical service assistants. Currently, we have one full-time and one part-time. The part-time will be going to full-time on July 1st, so we're excited for that because they need help back there. And then we have an IT manager, and we have a full-time IT assistant, Mike, who is in here, and we are looking to, I believe, hire another part-time IT assistant. Circulation, we have our assistant manager, and then we have a number of circulation associates. I don't have the current count right now. And then you all know Larry. He's our facilities manager. He does an amazing job with this building. He has the patience of a saint. We recently hired a full-time facility assistant, Daniel, and he's been working really hard. We have been interviewing nonstop, endlessly for the two part-time facility assistant positions. It's been very difficult. We've been ghosted. People have not shown up. So it's just hard to find people. But we are really putting them in different places, the job ads and stuff, so that's something new that we're trying. Is there any questions about the organizational chart? Yes, sir.
How many total full-time and part-time?
I'm glad you asked that. I will cover it in one of our next slides.
Will you be supplying a copy of that chart to us?
Yeah, I can do that. Actually, it's going to be in your portal, and I will show you exactly where it's at. Okay, so organizational chart, I will answer Joe's questions in a minute. So our vision of becoming an essential place in the community life drives our mission to be the best place to learn and discover. And I love the mission because it's BPLD, and that has been around since I've been here, and I love it because the library is the best place to learn and discover for everyone. Library history, and I'm not sure about the 1973 date. We celebrated our 50th anniversary in 72, so I'm not sure, but in 1968, several community organizations from the Bartlett Volunteer Library Association, a library is set up in the Bartlett Municipal Building. Was anybody here in 68? Anybody? No? Okay, so then we go to 1973. The board, the residents vote in favor of establishing a library district, and the Bartlett Public Library District opens. I want to say it was 72, but I'm not sure. In 1981, how about, was anybody here in 73? No, not yet? Okay. In 1981, land is purchased at this site. And in 1983, a new 7,100 square foot building was built. And I believe, Joe, correct me if I'm wrong, that's when we went to referendum the last time?
No, it was in the 93.
93, okay, thank you. In 1983, the Friends of the Library is formed. So how many people do I have here in 1983?
83.
83?
Oh, yeah.
What year did you move here?
78.
Oh, 78, okay. Anybody else? No? Okay, keep going. In 1988, construction is completed for a 4,500 square foot addition. So if you remember, it was the first building and then it added on this way. So then you had two separate buildings, mm-hmm. two separate HVAC systems combined. In 1995, a two-story 22,000 square foot addition is completed. And I believe that was the upstairs and the meeting room, right?
And part of the area where all the CDs and the cafe are.
That's, that was the old admin and the, And then in 2000s, the Bartlett Public Library Foundation is founded. In 2008, the library undergoes a complete remodel, and I believe that's when circulation was worked on in the meeting room. Was changed. In 2009, that was a big year, the online catalog was updated and we introduced downloadable materials. Oh, I'm sorry, in 2011, circulation is redesigned and expanded, and then when I was here in 2015, a renovation was created additional study rooms, conference rooms, and an art room for youth services.
So in 2008, was that when they moved the offices from up front?
No, that was 2015. Okay, any questions about the history? I find it fascinating.
We were moved in 85, and I remember the changes and the building and that. It's exciting.
Yeah. We have a good library. All right, so the basics. Monday through Thursday, our hours are 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. When I started, Fridays were originally 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., but after doing some analysis and studying, we did increase the hours to 6 p.m. We think that the patrons really like that. Saturday, we are open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sunday, we are open 12 to 5 p.m. And then a few statistics from the 23-24 IPLAR. We own 96,275 materials. 405,789 materials were borrowed. We offered 819 programs. We had close to 20,000 at attendance at library programs coming in at 19,164. Unbelievably, we had 34,371 reference questions asked. Think about that. That's a lot of questions. We had 11,616 Wi-Fi sessions, and we had 6,062 study meeting room reservations. So right now, a lot of people say, well, the book checkouts, the checkout for circulation are going down. That may be the case, and that's trending across all of the libraries across the country, but we are being utilized in so many different ways, and we are vital, and we are necessary for every community. Joe, you had asked about the staff. We have 44 regular employees, 24 are full-time.
And that's 30 hours or more?
That's full-time is 37 and a half hours a week.
From a benefit standpoint, 30?
Then you have your second level, benefits are 28 hours for IMROC. So we have three employees that are at the 28 hours, and then we have 17 part-time that does not receive any benefits. So it's broken down to full-time and then 28 hours for IMROC benefits, but they don't receive insurance or, you know. I think that's okay. We have a fantastic staff. We've had some turnover. A lot of libraries are seeing that there's a lot of retirement. And so we have a lot of younger generations coming in. And I like it because they have wonderful ideas and we're, you know, doing different and neat things. And so it's always fun to have them throw out an idea. I did put the staffing initiative line back into the budget because people had conveyed to me that they thought that was neat and to continue with it. So so we're excited. And we have a really good management team. We all gel and we work together really well. And I'm really proud of them. And I'm at a place in my career and in my life where I can mentor a lot of these people as I once was mentored. And it's been exciting. So there are some organizations out there that you, and I encourage you to join. American Library Association, it's the oldest and largest library association in the world. It supports librarians and libraries through advocacy, professional development, professional guidelines and resources. And there is an annual conference, I think it's every other year it's in Chicago, and then it goes to different cities across the country on the off years. Public Library Association is an offset of American Library Association, which is focused specifically on supporting public libraries and their staff, provides training tools and advocacy, and there's a conference every 2 years. And I really miss going to that one. That, for me, if I had to choose between ALA and PLA, I would choose PLA because I work in public libraries. And then the Institute of Museum and Library Service, I did include this. It's a U.S. federal agency that provides funding and support to libraries and museums across the country. It invests in programs and initiatives that promote lifelong learning, increase public access to information, and strengthen community engagement through cultural institutions. So you may have heard that the federal budget was cut for IMLS. We have not seen a direct impact yet, but I believe that it could have a really big effect on rails and the delivery system. And I think that's something to keep in mind as this progresses.
The budget that starts October 1st in its present form reduces IMLS funding to $6 million a year, virtually wiping out all of its functions. And that's scary.
Very scary.
I can talk about that in my report. We talked about the ISLAC meeting. This Thursday.
Okay. All right. So, but that's another, hopefully that one will come back to life and keep your fingers crossed. ILA. I love ILA. I have been a board member on ILA. One of my career goals is to be the ILA board president. but I think that will come later in a while. It's a statewide organization that supports all types of libraries and library professionals in Illinois. It offers advocacy, education, and networking to strengthen libraries, influence public policy, and promote access to information and resource for Illinois communities. And then they also have an annual conference. It rotates from, I think, like Rosemont to Springfield and then
Peoria.
Okay. I strongly advise you to go on to ILA and become a member of ILA. And Jay, you and I can meet and I can get you set up for these. If everybody else has not renewed, please do so, because these are vital organizations that support us. And then reaching across Illinois library system. At one point, when I started in libraries over 30 years ago, there was like 24 library systems, and all the money is gone, and they had to combine and condense. And so I grew up in the North Suburban Library System, and then it eventually came to two systems. It's the Reaching Across Libraries and then the Heartland System, which is down south. So there's two systems now, which, if you think about that, that's crazy for the amount of libraries and the area that they cover. Dave served as a trustee or a director or board member.
Board member and president.
Of Rails. And so if you have any questions about Rails, you can talk to him. How many of you are members or have access to Rails? Do you have a login? Yep. Does anyone else have a login? I can get you set up, Jay, but it's important to have logins. ILA has trustee training in the spring. They offer webinars and then any other continuing educations, I will let you know about. So roles and responsibilities.
Carol, yes, what about
Laconi? We just had that meeting.
Yeah, I forgot about Laconi. Laconi stands for Library Administrators Conference of Northern Illinois. It's been around forever. I served as president, I think, back in the 90s. That is another resource for library trustees. It's more so, I would say, for staff. Mallory is serving on one of the committee boards. She just did a presentation on Canva, so it's really, I think, geared more towards staff. But annually, they do offer a night out for the trustees. It's the annual trustee dinner. That just happened on May 30th. Any questions about the organizations? Nope. Okay. So roles and responsibilities. So you are the board of trustees. You are to serve in the district in accordance with the district's mission statement, which is, let me go back. You should all have that memorized. An essential place in community life drives our mission, which is to be the best place to learn and discover. There will be a quiz on that later. Okay, I had to do it. So, to economically and efficiently utilize public funds, to commit to quality public library services which benefit the general public, to formulate sound policies by which the district shall be governed, to hire, evaluate, and terminate the library director. So I am your only employee. Any communication, unless it's Mallory, in my absence, you really should not have any staff interaction. And unfortunately, I have had feedback from staff that sometimes some trustees are crossing the line and not being respectful and asking questions that are not related on a patron basis. So your role is to not confront the staff, talk to the staff about library business. That should be gone through me or Mallory. The president. Mrs. Daney, the president, you preside over all the meetings in the president's absence. The vice president, Dave Berry, presides. The president appoints members of the committees authorized by the district's regulations, ordinances, or other appropriate action. The vice president, in absence of the president, shall perform duties of all the duties of the president. The secretary, Peggy Buparo, and the library director, shall keep accurate records during the secretary's term of office. The records shall include a record of the minutes of all meetings, the names of those in attendance, the ordinances enacted, the resolutions and regulations adopted, and all other pertinent matters affecting the operation of the district. And last but not least, we have a couple more. The treasurer shall keep and maintain accounts and records of the district. The normal depository of all financial report, records shall be the library. The treasurer shall give bond to the district to faithfully discharge the duties of the office and to account to the district for all district funds. Freedom of information officer, the president will advise and consent of the board to designate a trustee and the library director to serve as the FOIA, Freedom of Information Officer Act, for the district. The FOIA officer shall handle all FOIA requests and respond accordingly. So when I get a FOIA request, I try to respond to it as efficiently as I can, and then we'll let Lynn know about it as the FOIA officer. And also the president, just to keep her in the loop. And then the ethics advisor shall provide guidance to trustees if a complaint is directed at a trustee. Any questions about roles and responsibilities? Nope. Okay. Finances. So our budget cycle, our fiscal year runs July 1st through June 30th. Our accountant is Governmental Accounting, James Howard, and our business office generalist is Sam Magdazares. I think that they do a good job. I am happy to work with Trustee Olson as treasurer. I think that he has keen eyesight into the workings of the budget, and I think it'll be a good, successful year as far as the budget cycle goes. For revenue, obviously, we have property taxes. We have the personal property replacement tax, developer donations, interest on investment, fines and fees, copies, prints, fax, vending machines, friends and foundation, and grants and gifts. Yes, sir.
This is more for information than anything. But where does the, what are we hearing back from the village on their thoughts about eliminating the developer permit amounts for individual taxing bodies within the...
I honestly, I'm not aware of that. I don't know.
There was quite a long discussion that within the last 6 months or so about whether they felt it was necessary to give up those funds to other taxing bodies and whether they should retain them.
The developer donations? No. Really? I have not heard anything, so I'm...
I haven't either, and I listen very closely, as I'm sure Jay does, on the comings and goings of the village, and I'm not going to just take any fees or developer donations away from any of the taxing bodies.
Yeah, I haven't encountered anything about that. I'd be happy to ask, but I haven't heard anything.
So we have a whole bunch of funds. We have our general fund, which is not, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not restricted,
Not restricted.
Not restricted. And then we have a building maintenance fund, which we have to levy for in July. And that's a separate fund that we use for maintenance and equipment and contracts, and I think some building maintenance general. FICA is our Social Security. We have IMRF, unemployment, workers' compensation, liability, and audit. And last year, Joe talked about we had a lot of surplus in these accounts and these funds. And so when we levied, we worked to lower these and put more in the general account. So we'll keep a close eye and monitor that and make the adjustments as needed this year. Board meetings. Any questions about finances or library funds?
Oh, I guess the one comment probably to make there is that the restricted funds, with the exception, I believe, of the audit's liability, are restricted solely to that purpose. The board can't take any action to move those funds out other than by diminishing the reserves. We can do that, but the existing balance...
You can't transfer from
we
one.
We can't transfer. Yeah. For instance, I believe in IMRF we have about $360,000. FICA we've got over $300,000. Well, not quite that much, but significant amounts that our annual expenditures don't come anywhere near our accumulated balance.
And I was always told to be very cautious about Social Security and IMRF, so now I think we're at the point where we're diminishing them instead of building them up. But I think that maybe goes back to the 90s when we were all worried about IMRF. But, okay, board meetings. So we have the regular meeting, which is every third Monday, and then we have sometimes committee of the whole meetings, like tonight. We facilitate more thorough discussion of issues before they are formally voted on. It can also be used for agenda setting, gathering, sharing information, and receiving public input. And then special board meetings are called by the board president. They require 48-hour notice, if possible, typically used for urgent matters. So if the building had a fire, we would call an emergency board meeting.
I believe under the special, we also have the annual hearing regarding taxation with a special board.
That's called a public hearing. Yeah.
But it's a board meeting.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah. I've just always referred to it as, I guess, yeah, you're right. Open meetings versus closed meetings. So all board meetings are subject to the Open Meetings Act. Closed session, executive session. You guys have all gotten pretty good about this. The board must go into closed session during an open meeting using relevant statutes. Public may be excluded. You may not vote in a closed session. Minutes recorded and kept private, but reviewed biannually to see if they can be opened. So, they are the third Monday of every month. You need to have a quorum. How many defines a quorum? Four. Good. We try to follow Robert's rules of order. I had a crazy idea that I should go become a parliamentarian, and then I looked into it and I said no thank you. There's a lot to remember there. Okay. But I think that we do an honest job of trying to follow the Robert's Rules of Order. Decisions are made on a basis of consensus, and once a decision is made, trustees agree to support it. And I know that sometimes our board members don't agree. I think that conflict is actually good because that it means that people are doing their jobs. But once the conversation is done, and once you all walk out of that room, you are for whatever that decision is, right? Because that's how you support the library. In your board packet, you're going to have the agenda, the minutes from previous meetings for approval, financial reports, director's report, and supporting documents for the agenda items. We are really doing a good job. We're getting the packets out early, right? You notice we've gotten them out on Wednesday. The ladies in the office are making me work hard. Packets are emailed to the board Wednesday or Thursday prior to the board meeting or as soon as possible. And then I'm going to show you the SharePoint also where we're going to upload those documents. So OMA and FOIA, Open Meetings Act, a state law that requires meetings of the public bodies to be open to the public except in specific situations, and Freedom of Information Act, a federal act that allows the public to request to request records from any government agency. Go ahead.
That also an Illinois statute?
I'm sorry?
FOIA, I believe, is also part of the Illinois state government, not just federal.
Oh, okay. Friends and Foundation. So, Friends of the Library, the meetings are every other month. They participate in activities and fundraisers throughout the year. They have contributed funds for prizes, programs, subscriptions, summer concerts, and more. Their memberships are individual organizations, clubs, and businesses are welcome to become members. So get the word out about the Friends. We have a dedicated group of ladies and gentlemen that do a wonderful job keeping that book sale area filled, and they're in here working and going through all of the donations. So they're a good group. And then we have the Foundation. They meet every other month. The Foundation provides additional revenue sources to enhance services and capital improvements that aren't paid through property taxes. The fund has two parts. The main fund goes towards capital improvements, while the Patty Perkins Fund goes towards general health issues with an emphasis on women's health. And I believe that the Foundation has close to around $7,000 set aside for the lobby restroom project, so keep that in mind. That's dedicated money to the lobby restrooms.
And you have a new logo.
And you have a new logo.
What do you think? That's pretty good.
Yep. Yeah. I like it. Sure. Okay. So you are an advocate. Please attend and support programs. Use our library collections, programs, and services. Promote what the library offers to friends, family, neighbors, colleagues, and business owners. I was on the plane coming home, and I was sitting next to a little family with a baby. I said, do you have a library card? What library do you belong to? And they're like, oh, we live in the city, Wicker Park. And I'm like, go check it out. They have great story times. And so anywhere I'm at, I'm advocating for libraries. Stay current on issues affecting Rails. You can sign up for the Rails newsletter, the ILA's legal issues for libraries, and then there's ALA's advocacy and public policy toolkit. There's also United for Libraries. I believe that we're a member of that. And then you know what? You guys are the elected officials. You know the government officials out there, so contact them. And then share library news. And then we just want to say thank you. This was one of our, when was that from?
Staff appreciation.
Library workers appreciation.
Usher something.
So yeah. We look like a good group. So
it's good.
That concludes the very basics of trustee orientation. And what I would like you all to do now is log in, follow your directions on the sheet that I gave you, and log into your iPad, or if you don't have it, you can follow along with me. So when you log in, you're going to go... If you can't log in, then I'll just show you. But this is SharePoint. And I'm going to click on Board of Trustees. And so this is what yours is going to look like. Right now, we just put a banner up that says Welcome Board of Trustees. But these are moving parts. We can put information like right here of things that are upcoming. We can put more resources up here or anything that's coming new or that we want to share with you. And those are going to be like hot spots.
So we're not going to our Outlook where we get our email. We're going to just a general web browser. Like
you're going to.
We're just logging into office.com.
www.office.com.
Okay.
Yeah. So. Do you remember, well, for the trustees that have been here a long time, we used to have a manual that was about this big. So I went through, and with Mallory, we went through and looked at the documents that were outdated, looked at what we needed to keep. So we created files. And so For now, what I'm going to do is still send out the board packet via email until everyone gets used to the portal, but I'm going to start putting the agendas in there. So you've got the, you know, April, May, June, and then if you click on it, it shows you the minutes. So,
so you have to go
shows
to
you the agenda. Sorry.
How are you getting to office.com? They going
so
through
I actually just piggybacked on you and opened the library website, and I can then go from there. So it wasn't
okay.
A standard web browser that I was looking for.
Okay, that's
there,
what
so.
I was wondering, because when you said standard web browser, I thought, I don't know if I could do the Edge.
I'm looking
so.
For Firefox on here.
Gotcha.
Can I go back? How do I do this?
So am I just doing it again?
No, just highlight the whole thing and then just type it in.
Just in the middle of the page, put documents.
Okay.
Okay, so we have the agendas.
That's what I was halfway there.
We'll put the minutes up. We have the board packet. We have the financial reports. We have information about the Friends of the Foundation. We have a greeting letter.
I just watch.
So it just says thank you for being a trustee, and we have Illinois Libraries and Law. So we have the Conflict of Interest. We have Freedom of Information Act. We have Illinois Records Confidentiality and Open Meetings Act. So these are just different documents that talk about these issues. And then I just want to point this out, Illinois Public Libraries and the Law. This is an article that was probably, I can't remember the date that it was published. I want to say like in the 2000s, but I had it reviewed by our library attorney, and he still felt that it was relevant, but there were a few notes that he made, so I put them at the top. And then when you're going through, here's the actual article. It's 39 pages, but it is well worth the read because it really goes into...
So is the date updated on the bottom so we know which one's current?
Revised July 2025.
Okay.
Yep.
Everything in the portal
is Everything current. In the portal is current.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Yep. Other things that I wanted to put in there... for all of our intergovernmental agreements. So we have the Gail Borden, we have one with the Park District, or two with Park District, and then one at Water Reclamation. That's from way long time ago, but I figured part of our history, we should have it in there. So take a read if you want to, but that's all in there. Mallory and I went back and forth on the library acronyms. I kept it in there. There's so many of them, so I just put them all in there. Like Flipster. What's Flipster? You guys know? Don't look at my answer.
It's magazines.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we use that. We liked Flipster.
This one is highlighted because I can't remember if we have my PC.
We technically still have it, but we don't use it.
You don't,
because we don't have the computer lab.
So, but that's just something kind of fun to, you know. Library board, what I put under here was library district map, boundaries, preparation before the board meeting, the role, trustee conduct, and then trustee's statement of expectation. So these are all not documents that you haven't seen before. Library board policies. What we did here was any public policy for patrons that are on our website, you can access there. These are policies that affect and are related directly to trustees. So. We are doing good. We're all updated with these policies.
It's probably a very good exercise to do to get all this together.
Yeah, and it took a while. library budgets. So we have last year's amended final, we have the draft. I think I need to delete a couple because I was trying to put them in PDFs because we just want to have them non-workable. So I'll go back and delete the ones that are, anything like whenever we pass the budget, I'll put it in here now so that you guys can always refer back to them if there's any question or stipulation. Budgets, library director job description. It has not been updated since, honestly, 2014 when I got hired. I did not change anything. I just put it in here as revised by July 25 because I just wanted to keep it separate and make sure. But this is one that Katie is going to work on and bring to the board for revision.
So don't we have to approve it before you can put a date like that on there?
Yeah, I messed up on that, so I'll take it off. And then here's where the organizational chart is. So you have a copy of it there. Meeting minutes is right there. Library information. Oh, I did the organizational chart. So there's still some kinks I got to work out. But neighboring public libraries. So this has information about our libraries that are by us. And then we have our strategic plan. And then I have a template. And then trustee development and resources. So we started that, and then we put the links to them so that you can link onto them. Mm-hmm. So that is the trustee portal. It is a project in the works. So for now, I'm going to still keep sending out the board packet and then put things where they need to be so that you guys have access to them.
I think it would be valuable to have the FBAR reports.
Oh. Great idea. Yep. And the per capita. Any other things that you would like to see or think about it? And if there's something that you come across, let me know and we can always add it. But this was a long project in the making. I want to thank Mallory. Go ahead.
And the audits.
Yes. Yep, absolutely. Yep. I think it'll be a good tool for all of us. Easy, ready reference that we can refer back to. It's got all the history, and so that is the trustee portal. Thank you very much, Mallory and Manny, for helping.
You did most of it.
So that's where we're at with that. I'm just going to leave it up there. So if any of you have questions or stuff that you want to talk about or bring up later, that's great. Right now, what I want to talk about is where we're at with the space needs assessment. You guys can come up. So right now, as of June 16th, we have hired an architect firm named Product Architecture. And they were hired to do drawings for the library based on community, board, and staff input. And so they came up with three different schemes that they labeled A, B, and C. And then they did, we had Spear Financial do a cost assessment. And so there's a certain amount estimated what would cost the taxpayer for A, B, and C. So that is all great. Trustee Olson asked me to get a proposal from Product Architecture to do drawings for a brand new building on the existing property. So in order to do that, that's $14,000. I conferred with him and I said, does that mean that we have to go back to the very beginning and start with the community engagement groups? And he said, no. He would take that data and then he would meet with the board and then he would meet with the staff and then use that information to do a brand new drawing for the current location. So you need to decide on that if you even want to consider a brand new building. And then after that, once you decide that,
what I really need to know is if you want to pursue going forward, anticipating that we would go to referendum based on the data that we receive. And there's a proposal from E.O. Sullivan. I printed out new ones for you because I ran it past the library attorney, and the attorney had some addendums to it because you have to be very careful when you hire a company like this, because it's not marketing for the library. It is an informational campaign. So if you guys agree to this, it's $32,000, and they will walk us through the next 9 months, two phases of getting to the point of whether or not the community wants or is willing to go to referendum. And it may be that they come back and they say, no, we don't want this. We're not gonna, there's not a chance. Or they may come back and say, yeah. And the results of the phone survey were positive. So I don't think anything should be tabled because time is of essence. In order to get this on the referendum for 2026, the board has to have everything in place in December, and no later than December approve it. And then we have to get bond counsel, which I've already looked into, and we need to get the writing of the referendum question correct. So we can go to referendum. We have a plan for that, or there's money that we can do things internally and keep fixing things as we are doing. That is an option. So I just want to put that out there. Any questions?
I just have one. On E.O. Sullivan, their page 6 identifies project costs. It's broken down. Didn't they do the previous evaluation with the phone?
This is on our regular agenda. We have a public at 7 o'clock. I'm just wondering if we're going ahead a little bit too fast, where the public should have an opportunity to be here and be part of our regular meeting minutes.
We can repeat it, but this is a meeting to cover this. So my question is the project cost, is that going to be adjusted?
They already did the survey, so that's not included in this. So this is the messaging. This is the, they did not do the engagement.
Okay.
And the final plan, if needed, because they say sometimes you don't go to referendum, and then the community education. So the survey is not part of it.
Okay. So basically we're not getting charged for that because we already have survey data.
So what happens to the library if that's a big if, we go to referendum for a new building? Where do we go with everything while they're building this new building? What is, have we thought that far ahead?
Mm-hmm.
And?
I would look at local business industries that have closed down that we could use. We may not be able to have our total collection out, but we may be able to do popular materials. I know that when Indian Trails, they did their building on their existing property and they ended up in a storefront right down the street. So that's a possible idea, working possibly with any of the governmental entities to see if that we could use any of their storage space. So I think that shouldn't impede the thought process, because that is logistics that can be worked out.
What would the time frame be for a brand new building and existing?
What do they say?
Up to
2 years?
Well, we all know that this is basically, looking at this is future. So we're laying the pavement, the bricks, for the future. Not for the now, but for the future. For maybe 5-10 years, we may be moved on out of Bartlett, but we have families and communities coming in. So we're looking at the future. And, you know, I remember you saying when we go out to referendum, we really don't have an input as trustees in the public sector. So I don't know if that includes here at the board meeting. So I'm just making general reference.
No, you can talk about it now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you just can't go out to your neighbor and say, hey,
right.
we got a referendum, you better vote yes right. for it, or right. you should vote yes.
Just want to make sure we're
but
all
you
on
can,
the same
You
page.
Can say what your thoughts are right now.
Okay.
I think, you know, at the when we talked about this at the last meeting, I was very emphatic that I thought we needed to remain here because this was central in the community. But I've had some thoughts about that since, and I don't know whether that, maybe this is part of what we need to find out from BOS, makes sense. There are some disadvantages of being here because we have to be closed during the 4th of July holidays. There's a new development that's happening along Lake Street. While that might not be central to our need, that might provide a unique opportunity. I think there are some other parcels, perhaps within the community, that we could, in fact, perhaps continue to operate in this building while we build a new one if we weren't absolutely wedded to that site, to this site. So I think that's something that we need to keep open mind of. I didn't have a very open mind the last time we talked about it.
Then you would need to hire another consultant that would go out and navigate all of the potential properties in the community. That's very challenging, especially now in this day and time, because people want fair market for the property. But obviously that is something that you could consider. So
well, that also adds to the cost, because now you're talking, now we need to buy a lot.
Yep.
Develop it, put the building in.
Two levels of property taxes,
here.
All of that, yeah.
And then you know, if we were to something like almost this $30 million or whatever.
Or how does it impact us if we move to Cook County?
This land was purchased years ago, and it's a beautiful site, and there's a reason why they bought it.
So anyway, I just wanted to put those thoughts in your mind as we move forward to our regular agenda. I would suggest adjourning the meeting and taking a couple-minute break before our actual start of our meeting, unless there's any other questions.
I'd like to make one more comment.
Yes, sir.
You know, in all of the four options that we have in this worksheet, none of them can be accomplished with funding that we have available. Even the basic remodeling can be. We're talking $8 million. I did an analysis of where we are with perhaps excess funds. And right now, depending on what our position is in terms of what we want to keep for our operating reserve, if that's 3 months, then we have $1.9 million. If it's 6 months, we have $900,000.
I think that's in our investment policy, how many we should have.
Right. But doing anything meaningful other than Band-Aids is going to require
I understand what you're saying about Band-Aids, but we are not doing Band-Aids. Since I have been hired, that has been my primary goal, to not Band-Aid this facility, because it had been Band-Aid for a long time prior to my arrival. And so we have not been Band-Aiding it. We have been correcting and fixing and replacing and doing very sound structural things that need to be done. So please don't refer to Band-Aids. Thank you.
We've updated equipment. Change things out, but we know there's limitations.
Make a motion to adjourn this.
Second. Okay, I got to run.
I'll second that.
I guess there's an all favor and ayes, right?
Yes.
All okay. So
I got to just say
there's 55.
I understand. Yes.